glad to be in the house of God this morning? Oh, I said, are you glad to be in the house of God this morning? You to do. I want you to welcome someone to church today and stay standing, but welcome someone to church today as we dismiss our youth juniors. About 4% of you that got good memory. I said, stay standing. Some of you are like, oh yeah. I feel like I'm talking to my kids right now. How many of you have to do that with your kids? You got to say it over and over and over. And I'm like, do you have a brain? Man, I just was trying to save you from having to do your extra squat today because, you know, when we read the Word of God, we stand. Some of you had said, maybe some of us, maybe we need to get a little extra workout in. I don't know. Maybe we missed our workout today. But I am thoroughly excited to begin a brand new series called Fully Devoted. Fully Devoted. How many ready for this series? You know, that whoop and that yeah and that clap is like the I do at a wedding, is what you really don't know what you're saying yeah to. But I got to tell you that we have been working on this for quite a long time. You know, as we stepped into our new mission statement this year, that we lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. We got the question that we wanted to answer. The question being, well, what does it mean to be fully devoted? What does that mean? How do I accomplish that? What does the Bible have to say about all of this? We understand that Jesus doesn't call us to a halfway faith. He doesn't call us to dabble or to just sample or just to get by in our devotion to Him. No, He calls us to an all-in devotion to God. And today, and over the next couple of weeks, several weeks, I don't know, we'll see how many weeks I go with this. I'm starting with our men. Any men in the room? Oh, come on. Any men in the room today? I'm going right for the jugular today. Are we ready for this? We've got some good men in this church. We got some godly men. Any men? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're a man in the room. Look at all these wonderful men. Don't be ashamed about it. We don't apologize for being men. No different than we don't apologize for the scriptures. We don't apologize for God's design. Oh, come on now. Don't leave me up here by myself today, men. And I want to encourage our men. In a couple of weeks, we're doing Brotherhood Breakfast on September 20th. I want to encourage you to get registered for that. We're going to have a good time together. We're actually going to dive into more of what these next few weeks are going to entail. I want to do that in a more isolated space with the men that want to be here. But this sermon and this series especially, I want to give you a little bit of some disclaimers today. This sermon and these series will definitely be a PG-11, even PG-13. Telling you now, it will be an honest, Bible-bold, Jesus-centered word. That's what we're going to do. We don't patty cake around the scriptures. We don't beat around the scriptures. If the word says it, we preach it. That's who we are. That's what we've always been. It's what we will always be. And I want to say this. I want to give a little bit of a disclaimer to all of our women. Any women in the room today? Okay. I want to tell you something very clear. No elbows today. Your man does not need a reminder today. I don't need you standing and shouting. I'm actually good if you're quiet today. I'm serious. And I can already hear the lady saying, well, what about us? Well, I'm also not stupid. No, I'm kidding. This series is for you too. We're going to dive into some things about men. And I'll say this, if you're married, I'm working on the one you got. I'm telling our women today, if you're married, I'm going to work on the one you got today. If you're single, I'm raising the supply of faith for what you're praying for right now. We got to build up some more men, some good godly men. Because somebody's like, where are all the good men at? Well, I'm trying to work on them, okay? I'll say this, you cannot use this sermon or refer to this sermon ever again in your entire life, women. And, you know, you're going to get to Wednesday and be like, so, about Pastor's message Sunday. You can't say that. He doesn't need your reminder. I'm helping you out too, men. Don't be quiet on me. Because here's the thing. Everybody wins when men walk in God's design. Everybody wins. And I'll go ahead and give a little bit of a little tempter. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about what does it mean to be a godly woman. So I'm coming for you too. And we're going to break out the Word of God, and we're going to see what the Bible says about what does it mean to be a godly woman. Here's the thing. This is kind of the premise of the entire next few weeks. When men step into purpose, everything flourishes. But when men step back in passivity, everything fractures. And I'm going to talk about that today because look at our world. Just look at it around you. We've got broken homes. We've got drifting sons. We've got hurting daughters. And study after study after study echoes what Scripture has already told us, and that is a father's presence shapes futures. It does. And the amazing thing is when a dad follows Jesus, the spiritual ripple touches the entire house, and there are stats to prove it. And I want to actually show you this today. The stats are out right now that says when a wife follows Jesus first, 18% of the household will follow. Amazing. When a kid comes to faith first in their household, whether it may be in kids ministry or youth ministry, statistics say that 22% of them will get their household to follow. You want to know what it happens when a dad does it? 94% of the household follows. What does that mean? When dad follows Jesus, the household follows and everything changes. So I want to break down three main passages of verse today. Our theme verses for this series is out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I'm going to read our theme verse, and I'm going to read a supporting verse to that in Acts chapter 2, so you can bookmark that, and then we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to read some scripture today. I'm going to break it out in a lot of ways. Matthew chapter 28, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Somebody say, make disciples. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the everything that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the end of the age. Okay, the Bible says teaching them, but what is he talking about? What does it mean when he says teaching? Well, jump over to Acts chapter 2. Verse 42, it says this. It says, and they devoted themselves. Somebody say the word devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, okay? Now we're going to jump to 1 Corinthians 16. So those are the supporting verses. We are called by Jesus in Matthew 28 to make disciples. That's our job. If you enlisted into the army of God, which is when you prayed the salvation prayer and you invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, you enlisted into the army of God, and now you are called to make disciples. That is your assignment. That is your responsibility. Acts chapter 2 says, what do they do? How do they be devoted? Well, they devoted themselves to the teaching. They devoted themselves to gathering together in fellowship and breaking bread. Good thing we get to eat. And in prayer. That's what it means to be devoted. We're going to break that down. Then we get to 1 Corinthians 13 and Paul says something, or 1 Corinthians 16 and Paul says something pretty amazing. 1 Corinthians 16. Says this, verse 13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Read that those next three words. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith and act like men. Be strong. And let all that you do be done in love. So I want to preach to you today from the title that's probably not very PC, and that is, what is a man? What is a man? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all that you are doing in this moment, what you're going to do through this series. I thank you, Lord, for every man in this room today. I pray, Lord, today as we open up your word, as we discover what your Bible, your living, breathing breath that you have given to all of us, what it has to say about us as men, what you've called us to, our design, our calling, our assignment, our responsibility, our instruction. Help us today to see your face. Help us to understand you more, Lord. Help us to raise up men who are fully devoted to you, men who live on mission, men who carry the weight of obedience and lead their families with faith. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said a big amen. Amen. Give someone a hug before you take a seat. Big old hug, a big manly hug. Have you ever had an image? We all do, actually. We all have an image of what a man is. Anybody have you have an idea in your head? Like when you think of a man, you think of a certain thing? We all do. We all have this criteria, this agenda, this motive, or this idea or concept of what a man is, what is manly. You know, I would consider myself a man's man. I would. I know me. I don't have to go look at a book. I know because, like, and I'll just say some things. I drive a 4x4 pickup. I love that. Amen. Come on, somebody. I like camo. Probably my favorite color is black. I do. I wear a lot of black all the time. I got more black in my closet than I got any other thing. I like to hunt. I like to shoot guns. I like to work out. I like to cold plunge in the morning. I did that today. I got more guns than I do fingers. And I might have one on me right now. You never know. I like fixing cars. I like working with my hands. I have calluses on my hands. I don't have sissy hands. I can build stuff. I can also YouTube how to build it. And I got to tell you, all of those things are great, but none of those things make me a man. They make me awesome. But none of those things qualify me for manhood. You can also be a Tesla driving, scarf wearing, man, I think. If you can't hear it rumble, that's not even a man. Like you need to hear your truck rumble a little bit. You don't need the audio speakers where you turn it on to say a 5.0 V8. You don't need that. But a man, when you think of a godly man, when you think of a fully devoted man, there are some key things that we've got to learn, and that's what I want us to look at today. The Great Commission, Jesus' words in Matthew 28, calls us to make disciples who are fully devoted, who are obedient to the Word of God, who are committed to God's Word, who are surrendered to Almighty God. And then we read in Acts chapter 2 where it shows us the picture. It shows us being obedient and devoted to the teachings of the Word of God in fellowship, gathering together. Men are not meant to isolate. We like to do that, but we need fellowship. We need communion together. We need to be breaking bread and eating and barbecuing together. Amen. We need prayer together. We need it. That's devotion. But hear me. If we want fully devoted families, if we want a fully devoted church, if we want fully devoted generations, then men must go first. If you want to change a family, you change the father. If you want to change a city, you change a man. Here's the main idea of all of this today. Fully devoted men create fully devoted homes, and fully devoted homes change the world. I'm going to say it again, and I want you to write it down. Fully devoted men create fully devoted homes, and fully devoted homes change the world. So the question before us that is very biblical is, what is a man? More specifically, what is a devoted man? And how are we to do what Paul said, to act like men? You see, well, our design determines our destiny. And before we define manhood by camo and horsepower and a bench press, we've got to go back to the original design, and God's design reveals man's destiny. So I want to talk on three things today on what a fully devoted man is not. We're going to start there. What a fully devoted man is not. The first thing is, he's not appetite driven. A fully devoted man is not appetite driven. You see, animals are driven by appetite. They're driven by appetite. What they want, what they desire, they go after it by appetite. But men are led by assignment. That's what men are. We're meant to have responsibility. We are meant to have an assignment on our life, and we are led in our life by assignment. You see, the world wants to say that men are animals, but men are not animals. That's just boys, because boys are the ones who are led by only their appetite. But a fully devoted man does not go off of urges. It doesn't go off of that. It goes off of purpose. Doesn't go off of impulse, it goes off integrity. It doesn't go off of what I want, it goes off of I'm called, what I'm assigned to. It's not appetite driven, it is assignment led. Boys go off of their appetite. I'll say this today, if you're a boy today, you're going to feel very uncomfortable. Boys go off their appetite. They're led by their urges, they live by their lusts. You see, there's an old story in the late 1970s, there was, in South Africa, there was a reserve where they had an enormous influx of a bunch of bull elephants, and they were needing to kind of thin the herd out in the area, and so they had transported a bunch of these young bulls into, which are males, into another kind of reserve and space in South Africa, and throughout some time, what began to happen was these young males went into this thing called must, which is basically mating season, where they get very, very horny. I'll just say it. I told you, PG-13. They get influx in their desire, and they start to just go intense. And it happens roughly between their years of 15 and 20 years. But what was happening was they were having surges of this continue on for a long suspended amount of time. And what they were doing were they were ravaging everything that they were around. They were killing rhinos. They were literally just going around, running amok, just destroying everything in sight. And they were like, what is going on? This is abnormal behavior for this to be happening. Well, one of the zoologist type guys that was studying this entire thing said, you know what we need to do? We need to take these six older elephants, male elephants, and we need to transport them over into this reserve. The problem was, the reason why they didn't do it originally was because in the transportation process, they didn't have the right equipment to transport the large males to move them over. And here's what happened. While these young males were running around just mating everything, destroying everything, killing everything, within hours of them dropping some of these six old male elephants, within hours, the old elephants got those young elephants in line. All it took was some older men who stepped into an environment where there were some young boys that didn't know how to be led, that didn't know what it meant for masculinity, that didn't know how to go off of and control their urges. And they would literally take their tusks and they would press on those young males and get them into submission and say, no, boy, we don't act like that around here. And everything began to live in peace again. It's amazing when you get men who step up and step into environments, real godly men, they can change an entire atmosphere where there are young boys trying to ravage the nation. A fully devoted man is not appetite driven. Number two, a fully devoted man is not boyish dependent. They're not boyish dependent. You see, boys say things like, you're responsible for me. They live their life where everybody else is responsible for them. And that's fine when you're a young boy. That's fine when you are a dependent on your mother and father's insurance. That's fine when you are living at home under the age of 18, that you are dependent on your parents. You're dependent on somebody else to be responsible for your needs. Now, you start to learn that in your later years of becoming a young man, but it's okay at that moment. But what the problem becomes is there is a level or a point where you have to learn to man up. You can't remain in boyish dependent because boys are the ones who say, you are responsible for me. But men say, I'm responsible before God for everybody else. They take on the responsibility and it's their God-given assignment to do so. And godly men teach young boys to be men. Here's the thing. God has an order in the way that manhood should go. You see, in the world we live in today, we do not have in America a moment of manhood. We don't have that. Obamacare says 26. That's when you get off of your mother's insurance and you become on your own and your own dependent. You've got the military that says you're 18. 21 says Bud Light. 16 is cigarettes. 10-year-olds are from Disney. There's only probably two people that agree, and that is the airlines and Advil, and that's 2 years old. We don't have, in America, a coming of manhood. We don't have a moment. We don't have a day. We don't have a year where that sets in place. Just because you become 18 does not make you a man. Well, I can do my own thing. Yeah, go ahead. You're still living in your mama's house. You're living under their rules, under their guidelines. When they say come home, you're going to be home. Because guess what? You live in theirs. When you want to go live on your own and care for your own and buy your own toilet paper and your own food, then you can have your own responsibility. But until you do that, you are under my authority, under my care. You've been entrusted under me. And some boys need to understand that. Because here's the thing. God has an order to all of this. The biblical order is you get a job, you leave your household, you cleave and find a wife, and then you become one flesh. That's God's biblical order. You get a job. Somebody say, get a job. Get a big J-O-B. That's right. You leave the house. Don't be elbowing nobody. You move out. You get married. You find yourself a woman. Then you have sex with her. Not before, and you do it in that order. But you see, boys don't follow order. They don't like to follow that order. You know what happens? Let me just say this, ladies. If your boyfriend is squeezing your hand right now, and he's a little bit uncomfortable, and he's trying to look over at you and say, well, honey, that's not me. He ain't no different. Just because he's uncomfortable, because he's not manning up to the biblical order that God said, don't let him convince you that he is different because he's not. All he wants is one thing. And he wants you to give him everything, but he won't give you commitment. He wants your body. And if he don't have the testicles to stand up and lead his family like God has called him to do, then when the times come when you're married to him and you need him to man up and care and lead for your family in a spiritual manner, he won't have them then either. You won't hear me say the word testicles again. I just said it the one time. I'm preaching. Thank you. We need some strong men in our world today. And the truth is, boys will do anything to remain boyish. But the Bible tells us that when I become a man, I put away childish things. So I've got to learn to step away from things that are boyish. I need to learn to do three things: grow up, show up, and step up. Grow up, show up, and step up. Boys or men, fully devoted men, are not boyish dependent. A fully devoted man, number three, is not a woman. Now, before you say anything, let me just explain to you. God created male and female different by design. We read that in Genesis chapter 5. It says, male and female, he created them. So God's design is God's design that he created. Now, we are equal in value, but we are created both to reflect God together, because we are made in the image of God, Imago Dei. I am made in the image of Christ. So there is a part of God that is manly, and there is a part of God that is feminine. We are two versions of the creation that God made us in his likeness. And we are different by design. Now, different doesn't mean deficient. It just literally means it's designed for a specific destiny. Just because you're a male doesn't mean you're deficient. Just because you're a female doesn't make you deficient. The Bible refers to women, and they don't like when it says this, and I'm going to explain, as the weaker vessel. All the women cringe when they hear that word. And we shouldn't, because the truth is, it doesn't mean less than. Don't get it confused. Don't let a wrong man try to tell you that you're meant to be weaker. Now, if we were to get up here and rack up 225 pounds on a bench press, men are just naturally stronger. It's going to be that way. You can't. That's just by design. Why? Because we were built for that. It is just by design. But that doesn't mean a woman is less than because she is considered the weaker vessel. It simply just means different. And to be truthful, when you understand the original translation of what that word is, it literally just means different. Like, here's the thing. Like, let me see. This right here are two different vessels. Right? Two different vessels. This one has a purpose. Its purpose is to be strong. Its purpose is to take on some impact. Its purpose is to keep things hot when it needs to be hot, or keep things cold when it needs to be cold. This will do really well on a construction site. This is different. I don't put coffee in a wine glass or a champagne glass. You're not going to see construction workers on a job site going, if you do, they probably shouldn't be there. It's different. One of them you'll get lucky at the end of the night, and one of them you won't. So let me ask you a question. Which one is better? Neither. Because they have a different purpose. Neither is better. Each one is built by a design to do something specific. Man, let me just be creative with you and let me tell you. Don't bring this to a date night. Bring this. But don't put real alcohol in it. No, I'm just playing. But they're designed for a different purpose. This is not weak, but yet it is different in design. It will break easier than this, but it's because that's the purpose that it was meant for. It's just different by design. Am I helping somebody today to understand that we are built different? You see, my boys and my little girl, I know this just by watching them in their natural habitat. When they see a stick fall from a tree, my boys turn it into an AR-15, and my little girl turns it into a princess little wand. Like, they are different. One of them runs around doing like this with the stick, and the other one's turning into a sword and start beating each other. And I'm like, yeah, that's right, young men. And then someone starts crying, and I tell them, tough it up, you know, and figure it out. Don't come inside till it's dark, you know. We don't tell our kids that enough anymore, by the way. kick them suckers outside. That's what my mom did. She kicked me outside and she said, just don't come in until it's dark. What do we eat? I don't know. Go fishing or something. But a fully devoted man is not a woman. Now let's talk about this. Let's talk about the three callings of a fully devoted man. The three callings of a fully devoted man. We see this all through the book of Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to kind of break this down. The number one thing is, a fully devoted man is called to have work to enjoy. Work to enjoy. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Man's number one assignment was to work. To work. Somebody say work. It's like a cuss word today. I tell our kids right now, I'm like, y'all don't know how to work, man. But we were designed. Men were designed to work. Before the fall, God gave man work. And work is worship to God. When you do it with everything, when you are doing your God's design, you are worshiping God when you do the things that God designs you to do. Work isn't a curse. It existed before the curse. You were built to build. Men, you were built to build. And let me just say this to all of our young men in the room. If you're a young man, make some noise. They don't want to. They're all like, I'm scared to say anything right now. I'm serious. I say this with all compassion and all seriousness to help guide you and shepherd you in this. Don't work hard to avoid work. Work hard to be worthy of work. Because here's the deal. It's amazing to me how boys work so hard not to work. They try to find the easiest job with the least amount of work, but that's not what men do. And it's here's the thing. It's boys who jack around in college, who they go and they party it up and they drink all weekend and they don't work hard, and so they don't get a good job. And in return, instead of being able to pay for the tuition that they incurred in their time for college, they just vote for people who will allow other people to pay for it. That's what boys do. But men take responsibility and own the things that they did. Am I preaching today? So young men, don't avoid work. You were made to have calluses on your hands. When someone shakes your hand, you're meant to have a firm grip. That's you look them in the eye, you say yes sir and yes ma'am. Come on, we need manners back, respect back. Boys say yeah and huh and what and make me want to lose my salvation over some of these young boys. But we were made for work to enjoy. And let me say this to our seasoned men. Any seasoned men in the room?
Yeah.
Don't retire from calling. Re-aim your calling. I'll say this very clearly. Did you know that retirement is not biblical? It's American. You won't find anywhere in Scripture where it actually talks about retirement, because the truth is the Bible encourages men to work. It encourages people to work. And when we don't wake up every day with an assignment and a purpose, we kill ourselves every single day. And that's why people, when they retire, their life dwindles so much faster. But those men who continue to have an assignment and a purpose, I'm not saying don't build up a nest egg. I'm not saying don't. But when you wake up every day not knowing what you're going to do, that's not good. When you wake up every day saying, well, what are we going to do today? You need an assignment. You need a responsibility. God confirms and affirms men who work hard, men who have responsibility. And so don't retire to step back. It's actually only in a place in Numbers where it talks to the Levitical priest line about the idea of retirement. And it's the only idea is to pass on from the duties of doing the hard parts of sacrifice, that were literally sacrificing the animals and burning the incense and doing all that. It said, now teach the younger to do it. But that still doesn't mean they walked away. They leaned in to the next generation and said, here's how you do it, boys. Here's how we're going to take care of it. And you're going to work hard here. And this is what you're going to do. And now they start to do more of the physical part. And that's what we're supposed to do as men when we get an older age. So men, don't retire and back off, especially in church. Don't back off. Well, this is just a younger church and young generation. You got young people on stage. You need to be here saying, you got this, man. You can do this. Keep loving God. Keep your eyes focused. I know times are going to get tough, but man up. You're going to be okay. We need people that can encourage us in that. Don't just make a living, make a legacy. That's what we got to do. It's our responsibility. I'll say it like this. Men are like trucks. They drive straighter when they have a heavy load. If you've ever driven a truck before, and you've ever driven one with a cattle trailer on it or a gooseneck, or you got a heavy load and you're delivering something, or you got a bell, like bales of hay, and you're, any men, not bales, no, I don't want to raise, I don't want y'all to raise no hand on that one. How many men have baled hay before? Like you've had, been in, okay, all right. Then you know that stuff ain't easy. And I'm allergic to that crap. I am. Makes me so mad. But men, when we have a heavy load on us, we live in a straighter path. Just like trucks drive straighter when a heavy load is on them. We're meant to carry the load. Another calling of a fully devoted man is a will to obey. Matthew 28 says, teach them to obey, not to just know this, but to obey. Then we get to back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, for it shall you shall surely die. So God gives, you know, we live in a world where it says God says a lot of no's, but the truth is God built an entire garden, told the man to work it, gave them dominion over everything, and said, yes, 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 you can have that, yes, 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 and one no. God gives us 1,000 yeses and one no. And his no isn't to restrict joy from us. It's actually to protect our life. And men, you got to decide. Is it going to be your will that you're going to be ruling, that's going to be ruling your life? Or is it going to be God's will that's going to rule your life? Which one is it, yours or God's? Especially when it comes to relationships, and it comes to finances, and it comes to morals, and it comes to sexuality. Whose will is going to rule your life? Are you going to follow what God's word is saying about it and obey the scriptures? Or are you going to try to be a man and do your own thing? Either the Bible sits over you or you sit over the Bible. Only one can be Lord. Only one. And your devotion is measured. God measures it by your obedience. Your devotion to God is measured by your obedience. Either God's word rules me or my wants do. And I've got to learn to be able to live a life in my calling with a will to obey. The third calling of a fully devoted man is a woman to love. A woman to love. In Genesis 2, 24 and 25, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become, somebody say it, one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. What does that mean? That is in Hebrew, bouncha-ga-wow-wow. That's what that means right there. Amen. I love talking to men, y'all. Y'all are great. They only say amen to anything that has to do with the word sex. And they say, amen. You see, order matters. Remember, we leave, we cleave, then we become one flesh. So men, love her, don't use her. Love her, don't use her. Pour out strength, don't exploit it. Is that, you understand what I'm saying? Cherish her, don't try to consume her. There's a difference. Protect her. Don't try to pressure her. We are called as men to serve our wives. We're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, about this idea of headship and men being the head of the household, and that is a spiritual ordained order. But most men don't know what that really means, and most women don't know what that really means, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to give clarity to what men's design is as far as to serve, and the wife was called to be a helper. And what does that mean? Let me say this. Men, if you're single, you need to start practicing honor now. Start it with your mom. Start it with women in your life, if they are sisters or aunts, the people that are close to you. Then the women in this church, your sisters in Christ, you need to start honoring them now. Don't wait until you're married, because you won't know what it looks like when you get there. And if you're married, then you need to lead in love now, so that way young men who are single know what it looks like. I want my daughter to be able to go on her, and when she's 87, go on her first date. This is why I carry a gun all the time, y'all. Anyway, I want though, when she does come of that time where a man will come into her life to marry her, I want her have been so treated so well by me and by her brothers, that she'll look at them and be like, my brother even opens the door for me and you don't. You ain't worth my time, son. Walk away. So dads, teach your daughters what it looks like to have a real man in her life. Because one day she's going to look for one that way that you treated her. She's going to look for that one. Know this, love doesn't take, it gives. Love doesn't consume, it commits. It doesn't take, it gives. Love doesn't consume, it commits. And real men don't take what isn't theirs. They give what God entrusted. Here's what I've learned. The enemy of devotion is passivity. There's parts in this that we have yet to see sometimes when we read Genesis chapter 3. And I want to read six verses to you really quickly. And you really need to go study all of this week. We're going to have some stuff sent out today to help you in diving into this in conversation in your teams and in your groups that you're with. But Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God.'" The truth is, they were already like God because they were made in the image of God. See how the devil likes to craft his lies? Get you confused. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it." And then this is a part here that we like to hash on the women. We do it in a joke. It's all y'all fault that sin's in the world. But look at this. I want you to look at this right here. Are you ready for this? "She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." What does that tell me? That joker was standing right by her. While the serpent was deceiving his wife, that man stood there in passivity because, oh, we're living in a culture that, you know, women need to be independent. I don't want to commit to the patriarchy, so let me back off. Well, I'm preaching now. And he stood back in passivity. And when she took of it, then she gave it to that fool and he ate it. Adam stood with her and said nothing. He wasn't out hunting. He wasn't out doing some other thing. He wasn't working on a 30-minute project that turned into 6 hours in the garage. No, he was silent, and Satan spoke and Adam just stood by. That just ticks me off. I don't know about you, but have you ever got, you ever get mad when you read the Bible sometimes? Like, how dare that person? The issue wasn't that he
he did the wrong thing. It was that he did nothing. He did nothing. He just stood by in passivity and let the world go by and did not step into his rightful place and design. You see, the first sin of man wasn't action, it was inaction. It was when a man did nothing that he was supposed to do. Let me say this. If you don't lead your family, the serpent certainly will. If you do not step up and grow up and lead your family, Satan will have no problem coming in and leading your family. God's question, after all this happened, as you study more, God finally came back into the garden and he said, "Where are you?" And it's the same question that is thundering today. Where are you, men? Where are you when your wife is overwhelmed? Where are you when your children are wandering, trying to find themselves? Where are you? Where are you when your finances are floundering and you're not trusting God and you're not leading your household to put God first? Where are you in leading your family? Where are you? This is the same question. Where are you in discipling and expressing love to your kids? Where are you? Men, your kids need you to hug them. They need you to tell them you love them. They need your words. They need your affirmation. They need your physical contact. And you're like, "Well, I didn't grow up with that." Well, then suck it up and find a man that can teach you how to do it. And sometimes you just got to get over yourself. I don't let a day go by without physically embracing my children and looking at them and saying, "I love you. I'm proud of you. I am always with you. I've got your back." I let my kids know if something happens, they know who to run to. Go to dad. Go to dad. Why? Because dad's going to bring some reformation back into the area. He's going to bring some order back. Where are you, men, when it comes to obeying Jesus? I'll say it like this. Hell loves a silent man, and heaven calls a standing man. Hell loves a silent man, passive and quiet, and sits back, lets the world go by. But heaven is calling men to stand. So the question then beckons, where do I get the power for devotion? How am I going to accomplish this whole idea of being a fully devoted man? I'll tell you, it's one simple thing, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. We see this in Romans chapter 5. In verse 17 specifically, but as you study the entire book of Romans, you will see that Jesus is the one. He is the power. He is the one that, because of all that he did for us, gives us the power to obey. And the Bible even says about this in Romans 5, it talks about how Jesus was the second Adam. And where Adam fell at a tree, Jesus won on a tree. Where Adam fell in passivity and in taking of the fruit and not doing anything, standing in action, Jesus took himself upon a tree and nailed our sin to a cross and gave us the power to be able to stand firm in the face of adversity and to be forgiven and to lead strong and act like men. What should Adam have done? He should have stepped in between the serpent and his bride and said, "Not today, Satan." And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He stood between sin and his bride, and he declared, "Over my dead body." Over my dead body. Men, you need that kind of grunge in your life, that grit in your life to say, "Over my dead body, but for me and my house, we're serving the Lord." "No, no, son, we don't act that way. No, no, man, we're not going to do that. We're going to serve God." "Oh, no, devil, you're not coming to my house. You're not bringing that junk in my house. No, look, let me smell on you." "No, no, no. You get right back outside and you come back smelling better, and don't you be hanging out with those people." Where is that at? Where Where have we lost it by letting the world raise our kids or some other system? Why don't we take back responsibility in leading and training and discipling our kids to love God and love people and love His Word?
Let me say this to you, men. Before I can act like a man, I must first kneel before the man, and his name is Jesus. I've got to do that first. I must submit myself to the mighty, strong, and powerful man who came and laid down his life for me. And I want to give you some tools before I close this sermon out today. I'm going to do a couple more things. I want to give you some fully devoted rhythms to follow this week. Things to start. And I want to say this to all the people in this room that live with a man or a father or have a man in their life. When you see them to start trying to practice these things, you don't get to say, well, you're just doing that because Pastor said so. You should be saying, thank you. Great job. You're doing awesome. I love you. Men try to make changes, and many times people don't like to let them change. You ever had that happen with your wife? Your wife's like, oh, I want flowers, I want this, and you go buy flowers. Well, you're only doing it because I said so. He's like, what do you want from me? Right? No, encourage them when they want to make change. Encourage them when they sit down with the family. Encourage them when they say things and say, hey, we're going to make some changes around here. Have his back, support him, let him lead like God's called him to lead, and pray for that man. You need to pray for him. Here's the first thing, fully devoted rhythms to follow. Number one is own your lane. Pick one responsibility you've neglected and own it today. Maybe it's reading your Bible every day. Maybe it's getting healthier, getting in the gym and eating better. You need to live a long life to take care of your kids. Maybe it's loving your wife. Maybe it's loving your kids in a better way, being more affectionate toward them, using your words, whatever it is. Maybe it's finishing a project that you've committed that you said you would do, or a job that you said you would do that you haven't done yet. Own your lane. Pick one responsibility you've neglected and own it today. I want you to do it this week. Sit down and have a family meeting, whatever you got to do. Number two, set the order. If you're out of God's order, repent and reorder. If you're out of order right now and you've realized I'm out of sync, I'm out of order, I'm not being the godly man, the fully devoted man that God's called me to be, then repent and reorder. If it's back to purity because you're sleeping with your girlfriend and you're not married, then you need to move out. What's going to cost us more money? It's not worth your soul. That will take so much more damage on you than a little bit of extra money because you got to move out and go do. You're not in God's design. You're not in God's order. It is get a job, leave, then get married, then you sleep with her. Follow that order. If you're out of order, if it's in your finances, get them back in order. Repent and reorder. If it's in your priorities, repent and reorder. Number three, start the practice. What do I mean? Pray with your family out loud 3 times a week. Out loud. Men, you need to lead your family in prayer. Short, simple, steady. Just take a moment. If it's at bedtime with all of your kids individually, that's fine. But you need to pray out loud with your kids. You need to pray out loud with your spouse. Don't leave me up here by myself, man. Come on. Your words matter. Remember, Adam sat in silence. Don't sit in silence when it comes to praying for your family. And well, I'm going to do it in my own time in my car. No, 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 no. Get up in front of them and say, hey, guys, we're going to pray today. We're going to pray for our day before we go to work and we go to school. God bless this day. Be with us. We love you, Jesus. Help us to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple and easy. You don't have to be all theological and all spiritual and know every scripture and start quoting it. If you got to write it down on a post-it note and repeat the prayer, then start there. It doesn't matter. You just need to start simple. If it's praying for your kids before bed, like, Father, help them to sleep and sleep well and let them dream of you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It doesn't have to be complicated. Can you talk? Yes, you can. Then you can pray. You got a lot of other things to say when it comes to arguing. Well, just talk to God that way. Short, simple, and steady. Number four, seek accountability. You need to text a brother this week. A man in your life, I want you to hold me to this and whatever that is and tell them. If it's one of these things, if it's a responsibility that you have, if it's you know that this thing doesn't do well for you when it comes to social media and they need to hold you accountable and they need to be on your plan where they can see everything you've been on. I'm serious, man. So many men are addicted to porn and it's from that freaking phone right there, and we need to get some covenant eyes is what it's called. There's sources out there, resources that you can use, and you let the right man, you need to text them and say, hold me to this. Because here's the thing, lone wolves become lost wolves. I'm gonna be fine, I'll do it on my own. Yeah, until you're out alone, and then you're gonna get devoured by the enemy. You are not strong by yourself. I don't care how macho, I don't care how big you can bench press or squat or power lift. You ain't strong enough to hold off the devil when he's coming at you when you're weak and you're alone. You're not. Start small, start today, and stay steady. So I want y'all to say that. Say, start small, start today, and stay steady. Here's what I want to do. I want all of our men in the room to stand. All of our men to stand. Church to full devotion, I'm calling on you men to lead first. I'm calling on you men to not stay silent, but to stand and to act like men and to be fully devoted, godly men. Let me tell you, you don't need a pep talk. You're a man. You don't need someone to come and be like, come on, let's go. You got it. You don't need it. Build yourself up in your own holy faith, the Bible says. You don't need a pep talk. You need power from the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. Not cowboy up, but Christ in you. He is in you. If you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Christ lives on the inside of you. And here's what I want to say to everybody else that is sitting down right now. The future of the people sitting down are dependent on the lives of those standing. I say that with all confidence and boldness, that the future of every life that is sitting right now is dependent on every person that is standing in this room today. Why? Because that is God's design. So you need, we want to pray for these men, and I want to do that today. We need to stand behind these men. No, they're not going to be perfect. We know it. We know we're all screwed up. We know it. We know when we make a mistake. Boys don't know it, and they got to be corrected. But men know it. Men know when they mess up, and they guess what? They fight harder to get it better next time. But men, this is our moment. This is our time. Let's not sit back in passivity and in inaction. Let's live a life that is not silent, but is strong and acting like men and doing what God has designed us to do and to be. Here's what I want us to do. If you have a man in your life and they're standing in this room right now, I want you to lay your hands on their shoulder, grab their hand if you're their spouse. We're going to pray over these men today. If there's a man near you that doesn't have someone with their hand on their shoulder, we're going to be in the church today, but I want you to put your hand on their shoulder, put your hand on their arm. We're going to pray, and I don't want you to leave me up here by myself praying. I want us all to pray. I want us to lift our voice. Men, you need to be praying and asking the Holy Spirit to convict you, for change, to help you, to give you strength. And I want our church, I want us to lean in, and I want us to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I pray for every man in this room, God, that you would pour out courage and conviction and compassion. God, that you would break passivity. You would birth responsibility, that you would make these men watchful and faithful and loving, that you would heal what's behind them in their life, that you would anoint what's ahead of them in their life, that you would turn their decisions into destinies and moments into legacies, that God, they over our homes, over our marriages, over our children, we declare over my dead body, God, help us to have the strength. Help us to not live in passivity. Help us to not live in inaction. But God, help us to have the strength to stand by the power of the Holy Spirit, to lead in the design that you've given us to lead in. To be a fully devoted man. To follow and to obey. To kneel before the great one, and that is you, Jesus. God, we ask all these things. I pray, Lord, for the families that are around them, the people, the other men, the women and children. God, that you would put these people around them to be a support to them. And God, if they don't have it, let them find it in this church. Let them lean into what you have for them. Give us the strength to endure, the purpose to carry the responsibility and the load that you've called us to carry. In the strong, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all our men said, amen.